Affairs. I'm calling the meeting to order at 6 minutes after 9 on Thursday, April 8th, 2010. At this time, please turn off all your electronic devices if you haven't already done so. Thank you. We appreciate that. Please let the record reflect that we have with us today Senator French, Senator Meyer, Senator Menard, Senator Pascoven, as well as Senator Kukesh. So it's a full committee this morning. We have a very important topic to bring up, procurement. It's HB 225 State Procurement Code. I have a CS for version C for the purpose of work and discussion. Is there any interest in moving this forward?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the CS for purposes of discussion. So let's see. I move CS 26LS1665/A, excuse me, Bannister, dated 4/7/2010, as our working document for purposes of discussion.
Okay. Is there any objection?
Point of clarification. I thought I heard Senator Meyer say backslash A, and what I have is a concurrent resolution.
Yeah.
Backslash A. Okay. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Should
okay,
be.
We'll stand to correct the record.
Yes, Madam Chair, I need to remove that previous motion. Let me start over. Okay. Madam Chair, I move that we adopt CS 26-LS0791/C, Bannister, dated April 7, 2010.
Okay, thank you. It's my intent to
object for the purposes of.
Okay, thank you, Senator French. There's been an objection. It's my intent to spend a minimal time on this, maybe 5 minutes. It has gotten very complicated. It's a very serious topic, and we're probably going to just look at the original bill, but I want to certainly give my committee members an ample few minutes here to weigh in on this discussion.
Well, Madam Chair, maybe can somebody read through the changes in the CS? Are we prepared?
Okay, Crystal, do you want to come forward, please? Crystal Kahneman, please state your name for the record and your affiliation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Crystal Kahneman. The changes, I believe, I have yet to officially go through every single piece of it to make sure that, it's what we had talked about initially. We had, in the original version P, in Section 6, it had talked about ADA and AEA and exempting them. This new C version does take that wording out, so they would still fall under the procurement code. In the version P, section 19 is now taken out for purposes of clarity, because section 19 in the new C version is language that was taken out for the offeror's preference. So the offeror's preference would still then remain in regulations. And the procurement officer could then apply that preference as well. And then there's some conforming technical changes, version P, section 36, which had mentioned ADA and AEA as an agency. Technical changes had been made as well, and that's the general gist of the new CS, from my understanding, Madam Chair.
Okay. Are there any questions for Crystal? Senator French?
Not to belabor the point, Madam Chair, but I just, from the last hearing, it was fairly clear to me that there were two provisions, I think, that we were wrestling with. One was whether to put the AEA and ADA under the procurement code, and the other was whether we should eliminate the Alaska offerer's preference. And I just don't know whether this CS does that or not on those two provisions.
Yes, go ahead.
Madam Chair, Senator French, it does take AEA and ADA out of the equation now and does leave the offeror's preference the way it currently stands in statute or in regulation.
Leaves it as it exists right now.
Correct.
Leaves it untouched.
Yes, both provisions.
Both provisions.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Pascoe.
Well, you know, I guess what I'm struggling with right now, you know, and I recall clearly the testimony of Mr. Jones, and I believe that we have a problem in our system, and the question is how much or what the magnitude of that problem is, but I sense that there's a major problem in our system, and, you know, certainly before I cast a vote on something like this, I'd certainly like to hear from Mr. Jones, but additionally the ultimate question is the representative of the bill sponsor is you know, this did start out as a $5,000 exemption, and now all of a sudden we're dealing with more global issues than one. What is the bill sponsor's position with respect to either the CS, what was previously before us, or getting back to the original bill? What is the bill sponsor's position?
Madam Chair, yeah. Senator Pascoe, as my boss is unfortunately not here today, I have yet to speak to her about this, but in our past conversations, I do know that the Alaska Veterans Preference, which is how we started down this path, that is ultimately still very important to her, to make sure that that does get into statute and that we do give veterans a better preference. With regards to the new CS, we did speak briefly about it last night. Ultimately, there are, a few questions here or there about it, but ultimately, Madam Chair, it is the will of the committee. That's why we have this process, and it's the way things go sometimes, and so we'll adapt.
Follow up, Senator Pascoe.
Getting back to the point raised by Senator French, and addressing the offeror's preference, what I'm struggling with is what is the standard? How is that determined? If it doesn't come from statutory authority, what is the objective criteria? And, I have great difficulty in believing that somehow or another a preference that can skew a bid result that has no basis in statute, that may not have an objective standard that can be followed, should be maintained. And so, that is what I want to focus on ultimately. And whether that's today or soon, or that is ultimately the issue that is most critical to me. And I certainly support veterans and giving them the $5,000 preference, but in the big scheme of things, the problem is millions of dollars and not the $5,000 here or there. And so that's kind of my frame of mind at the moment.
Okay. Madam Chair,
yes.
Senator Pascoe, that is also one of our main concerns as well. And whether we address that here today, ultimately it's the chair's decision, or whether we bring that forward at another time. But Senator, that is one of our main concerns as well. And Vern Jones is always here and can articulate that better than I.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, and I do apologize. It's very confusing. We've spent time last night as well as early this morning in wanting to go as a public process and do our due diligence and do the right thing and give it amount of time that's really needed to venting on this. So I will now go, because I do have some people online that will speak to that. And thank you very much, Crystal. And then...
Pardon
me? No, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to open public testimony for these people online. Scott Thorson from Anchorage Network Business System. Scott, are you online? Could you state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
My name is Scott Thorson. I'm representing Network Business Systems today. I'm here to testify about House Bill 225 regarding the Alaska Bidder's Preference. The thing that I thought I was going to testify on may be a moot point at this point, since you have decided to revert back, if I understood correctly, the conversation of the last night, you decided to revert back to the way it was before.
That is correct.
Yeah, my suggestion would be to codify that bidder's preference. In other words, put it in statute. There's just simply for the fact that there's been some confusion in the past about it, and sometimes it's not clear how it's applied or whatever. And I think that if the committee could add that into statute, I think that would be very helpful. The Alaska Bidder's Preference is a way to, help the state, kind of do it like what they do with the oil companies and things like that, where they have an Alaska hire requirement. This is a similar type of a thing for the state, and it's important. I'm sorry. And it's important that the state support locally owned businesses, because the vast majority of Alaskans that are actually working these days do work for Alaska small businesses. So it's an important aspect of the overall procurement code, in my opinion. That's my testimony at this point. I do appreciate the time that you've allowed me to have this morning.
And thank you for being online this morning and your knowledgeable testimony. Next, we'll go to Dennis Miners, in Intelligent Energy System.
Yes, that's correct. My name is Dennis Miners. For the record, I'm with Intelligent Energy System, 110 15th Avenue, Anchorage. And I understand that I'm here to testify to support your decision to take the Alaska Energy Authority out of Section 6 of this bill. And my reasoning is that there have been three different legislative audits that have shown that there have been procurement problems at the agency. The most recent one was 2008, and I have the recommendations in front of me, and that number is legislative audit 08-30048-08, and the report conclusions were procurement policies and procedures for the Alaska Energy Authority Rural Energy Group projects need to be rewritten. Procurements for the RPSU, that's the Rural Programs, Power Systems Upgrade Program projects, were not consistently made in compliance with the Rural Energy Group, Bulk Fuel Upgrade Program, Rural Power System Upgrade Program, Project Reference Manual, guidelines, or the underlying federal regulations. In Section 6 is strengthening the agency's ability to create their own procurement provisions the way I understand it. And I think that this is the past problems with the agency are troubling indications that there is a problem. This is a very different agency than, say, the railroad or the aerospace corporation. There is a small section of maybe three or four people who manage, I think over the last 8 years, probably $300 million worth of projects. Very few of those have been bid out, and I think what's important here is not that there are procurement consistent procurement codes, but that there are important laws and there are important activities, traditions, ways of doing things that surround the way the bids are put together, and those are part of the procurement practices that AEA has accumulated. over the years. What happens, the result of that is that you may have procurement procedures, but they direct projects to particular contractors and restrict innovation and competition at a very basic level. I'll give you one example of that, and I can be reached to discuss other problems that I see with the bill. But in front of me, I made a request for an informational request to the agency for information about contracts to one of the sons of one of the workers there. And I received a public interest finding, supposedly a public interest finding, which is a request for a sole source waiver dated October 24, 2007. What it says is that it's a request to to establish a multiple-year purchase of software from Travis Habermeister, which is one of the sons of the workers at the agency. And this was not publicly bid. It wasn't advertised. The specifications weren't out. And there's no transparency in making these requests. I know that my company and many others would have liked to have bid on that, but we were never given an opportunity. I think there are many, many things in the procurement practices at AEA that eliminate contractors from even understanding that these bids come about. Some of those methods are just establishing the work schedules, the budgets, end-user needs, the work that goes on under long-term purchasing contracts, multiple-year engineering prompt contracts. Much of this information is just not available to the public under their procurement practices. And that lack of oversight, I think, is very harmful to the public. So,
okay.
Before any change.
Thank you. And can you just wrap up your comments now, please, Dennis?
In summary, I'd just like to say that I don't think it's appropriate to strengthen the procurement procedures at the procurement capabilities of the agency without a management review. Thank you.
And we appreciate your insight and you expressing your concerns. Thank you very much for being online. Next, we have Tom Wickwire from Fairbanks. Tom, are you online? Could you state your name, please, and affiliation for our record?
Yes, I am. My name is Thomas Wickwire. I'm an attorney for Power Corp Alaska that is a plaintiff and appellant in pending litigation against the Alaska Energy Authority and one of its employees, Chris Newman. I want to state my position about the proposed new substitute for 225 would amend AS 36.30.015F to add the Alaska Energy Authority to it, which has the effect of allowing it to draft its own regulations. Then Section 36 of the same bill will add the Alaska Energy Authority to the list of agencies that is excluded from the state procurement code.
The only one.
But the significance of that is that in pending litigation, a Power Corp, an Alaska company, has proven that the Alaska Energy Authority, acting through Chris Newman, has succeeded in giving over $1 million worth of contracts to an out-of-state corporation, and doing that only by using a sole source waiver to exclude all competition, and then write up the bid specifications so that only this favorite company of theirs called Controlled Power out of Washington.
Mr. Wickmeyer, we do apologize. We do have a CS in front of us, so you're at a disadvantage. You're speaking to the original language that we had in HB 225. HB 225.
The current version do either of these do two things. Does it allow the Alaska Energy Authority to draft its own procurement regulations?
No.
No.
All right. Good. So that problem is solved. And does it exclude the Alaska Energy Authority from the state procurement code?
No.
Section
no.
36 of the May substitute?
No.
All right. Good. So it will be subject to the state procurement code. Is that correct?
Yes, but we're not dealing with the CS now, so it's a little confusing on your end. We appreciate you being online, and if you want to stay online and hear what's going to come down for at this point, you're more than welcome to.
I'd just like to say one comment.
Please go ahead.
If the Energy Authority is excluded from the operation of the State Procurement Code, then it will be doing that while there is pending litigation where we have alleged and submitted proof to the Attorney General that this certain employee has intentionally violated the Pure Procurement Code, which is a felony. We have reported that to the Attorney General. The current version of the Procurement Code, 363940, says the Attorney General shall enforce this section, and there has been no interest and no response from the Attorney General in doing that. So It looks like the Energy Authority has drafted this provision to get themselves out of a difficult box they're in pending litigation.
Okay.
I don't think that's appropriate for an agency to do that through trying to amend the law while litigation is pending.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wickwire, and your comments are well noted. Next, we're going to go on to maybe closing this for discussion. I want to close public testimony. Do my fellow committee members have comments to make at this point?
Well, I don't know that I feel comfortable in moving one way or another on this. It's one thing if we were ruling on just the $5,000 VA exemption. It's another thing if we're going to rewrite
statutes,
the procurement code. And so that's, I'm feeling uncomfortable that I don't have enough information, and certainly, as I indicated earlier, I'd like to have Mr. Jones weigh in if we're going to ultimately have to make a decision on this.
Yes.
I can wait for Mr. Jones.
Okay. Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair, I think there's a lot of concerns here with the whole procurement code in general, and what we're doing or attempting to do here is just piecemeal or fix certain areas, I think by the CS deletes Section 20 and Section 6, which puts ADA and AEA back under procurement code and leaves the offer's preference the way it was, which we're hearing testimony that's what people want. But on the other hand, we have so many preferences now that I know it's frustrating for the procurement officer. Because, for example, if you're an Alaska bidder, you get 5%. If you hire so many disabled folks, you get another 10%. If you use Alaska products class, you get another 7%. And then you get the offer's preference on top of that. What I'd rather see is rather than having an offer's preference, which a lot of people don't seem to understand, is maybe just up the Alaska bidder's preference and then get rid of the offer's preference. But I don't know if we can and should even try to do that today. I'd also like to look at the residency for Alaska business. Right now it's only 6 months, which is fairly easy just to get an office, hire a temporary person and say you're Alaskan and then bid on the Alaska projects.
Would you suggest then like a year like it is with the PFP?
I think that's something we should look at is, make it consistent with other Alaska residency requirements like the PFD. I've heard some concern about sections 33 and 34, which allows the procurement officer to go outside the procurement code and join up with a cooperative made up of several Western states, again, an attempt to get a better rate for the state. And then we're hearing, that AEA and ADA want to be outside the procurement code. Alaska Housing, the university, Alaska Railroad, they're already outside of the procurement code. DOT, where the big dollars are, is outside the procurement code because most of the time that's got federal money involved. So the question is, why are we even messing with or worried about the procurement code when we have so many people excluded from it? And I don't think that's right either. I think that we need to get a better track of the dollars that we're spending and who we're spending it to. I think we need to automate our system. I think we need to centralize the system. We have a procurement office here in Juneau, but they don't do much procurement. They lease office space, which is fine, but most of the procurement has been decentralized to the various agencies, which, you know, I don't know if we have adequate control or not. I mean, we're hearing about some concerns that was recently done, recently brought up through an audit. So, Madam Chair, I guess my inclination at this time would be to just leave it as it is right now, mm-hmm. and hopefully have more time to look at this and come up with more comprehensive solution rather than mm-hmm. just trying to piecemeal as we are today with mm-hmm. the CS.
Mm-hmm. That's why originally I said as Chair I would like to hold the CS and go back to HB 24 and deal with the procurement for veterans and just deal with that today, as we can all appreciate this needs more work and discussion than we're going to be able to handle.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
I don't have any problem doing that as long as we have some control over ADA and Alaska Industrial Authority. I'm not willing to let them have state money not be subject to the procurement code. So as long as that's in place, I can wait.
Okay.
But that is my main concern, is to make sure that those two agencies are subject to the procurement code. I understand there may be some others, and we can talk about them later, but at least for now, I want to make sure that they're subject to it.
And I appreciate you made a good point and argument that is all state money. So we can look at that, and I'm going to go ahead and take a brief at ease here before we go. Back to order. Next, we're going to deal with HB 24, Procurement Preference for Veterans. We have the sponsor in the audience. Would you mind your great Crystal Kahneman, please state your name and affiliation for the record and speak to the original $5,000. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Crystal Kahneman, Staff to Representative Fairclough. We'll start with a blank slate here. My boss does send her regards for not being here this morning. But what we have now before us is House Bill 24, which is an act relating to a public preference, procurement preference for Alaska veterans. What it does is sets out a 5% preference for Alaska veterans up to $5,000. Most of the preferences that would be the procurement limit that would be used would be under $100,000, so the $5,000 limit would very rarely come into play, which is why we agreed on the $5,000 cap. Currently in statute, there are, like we've been over many other preferences, there's the 5% bidder preference, 7% for agricultural and fisheries, 7% product preference, a 5% recycled product preference, 15% for the employment program, 10% for Alaskans with disabilities, and 10% for employers of people with disabilities, plus, of course, the offeror's preference in regulation. We believe that with everything that veterans do for us, it's our strong belief that we need to take care of them when they come back from serving and give them a little bit of a push into starting their own businesses, which is why we believe House Bill 24 is a good thing.
Okay, are there questions, committee members? Seeing none, okay, thank you. We'll go ahead to public testimony. Charlie Cole, are you online? You're on HB 225, though, so I don't see anyone that signed up for HB 24. Okay, I'll go ahead. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to that? Okay, seeing none, I'll go ahead and close.
Vern Jones.
Okay, Vern, would you like to come forward to speak to, please, HB 24? Thank you. State your name for the record and affiliation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Vern Jones. I'm the state's chief procurement officer, and I guess I would say that we're certainly not in opposition to House Bill 24. hard to be in opposition to a preference for our Alaskan veterans. I would say, though, that without the other comprehensive fix that that the other bill would provide, this does really nothing to solve a lot of the problems we have. It adds yet another preference. By my count, it's either 11 or 13 preferences, depending on how you count them. And again, I'm certainly in no way opposed to House Bill 24. It's just that we have a real tangle of confusing preferences as it is. Our attempt on the other bill was to streamline and take care of some of the real practical problems that we have. House Bill 24 adds another preference. It's not going to be difficult or expensive to implement, but again, it does not solve a lot of the problems we have in state procurement now. So I do support 24. It's embedded in the bill that I worked on that was just held. So that's my testimony, I guess.
Okay, thank you. Any comments? And we so believe you. We know you're in a big dilemma, and we want to help, but it's going to take a lot more work and time, and I'm sorry that we're not addressing that today for you, but we do want to get HB 24 off. Is there any questions from? Okay, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Vern, for your testimony. And you do have a very tough job, and you do have a real dilemma here with all the different preferences that we, the legislature, have passed and put on you and said, okay, now enforce this, and now we're here adding another one that we all support. But I do think a more comprehensive approach over the interim and working with the state chamber, working with the businesses, and because we want to help Alaska business. That's our goal here. We want to help our veterans. But I think there's a way to clean this up so that it's less confusing, which then hopefully will eliminate some lawsuits, and hopefully, too, we won't have to exclude all these groups because they can't meet all these preferences that we put on you. You know, for example, and I don't want to go off on the other bill, but you know, the bidder's preference, Alaska bidder's preference, and then the offerers, if there's somehow maybe some way to combine that so we're still giving Alaska preference, that would be a thought. So again, I appreciate your support of this veterans preference, and I think we all support that, but I know we're not making your life any easier by doing this, but it is something that I think we all support.
Okay, Senator Passfan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say thank you to Mr. Jones, and you know, the message that I've heard is that you're concerned that something that may outwardly in language appear to make sense as applied is anti-competitive, and you know, I've heard that message very well, and I want to make sure that over, you know, at the end result of whatever is done, whenever that might be done, that we have a very clear understanding of what it takes to make a competitive bidding process in a cohesive manner so that we are doing the state right at the end of the day. And, you know, I think it's easy, and I do support the $5,000 to the veterans, but I think we need to have a global analysis of our procurement code so that we make sure that it is a competitive process based upon objective standards that we can all put our arms around and say we endorse it. And then the last thing is I want to track how much money are we spending extra in each one of these categories, because ultimately that is what we apparently can't do. So I wholeheartedly support Senator Meyer's statements that we need to make this system on an electronic basis so that we can find out how much money that we're spending in each one of these categories, because it sounded pretty scary to me. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thank Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Senator Pascovan. And along those same lines, you know, we're very fortunate to have Senator Myers, who in another world does procurement. And in his other job for 20 years, they've been certainly streamlined and been able to do this electronically and have a tracking system that our state doesn't have. So that really disappoints us, too. So there's a lot of work yet to be done, and we certainly don't want you to take this as something that we're against, because it couldn't be further from the truth. So with that, thank you very much for coming up and being in favor. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, I apologize for that.
Thanks, that's
Senator fine. French.
While we have Mr. Jones here, I just want to thank him. At the last hearing, I asked him to provide me with a couple of examples of how the offeror's preference worked. He very swiftly sent me two examples. I don't know if he copied them to the rest of the committee, but they were easy to understand, very clear. You know, I just thought it was a remarkably quick response from anyone, up to and including someone as busy as Mr. Jones. I want to say thank you for that. It made it very clear to me that we need to do something about the offeror's preference. It's resulting in the state spending millions of dollars for projects with, I think, perhaps only tenuous connection to, you know, sort of Alaskan employees and Alaskan companies performing this work. So I just want to say thank you for that swift response.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And before you leave, you know, we're looking for a streamlined tracking system. We're looking if things should be in statute that we can work on that. And then, of course, the offer's preference, what we want to do with that. And all entities where state dollars are being thrown at. So we'll work real hard to accomplish that with you and the Department of Administration.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go ahead, and I see that there's no one else to come forward under public testimony. I'll go ahead and close public testimony. Do you have any comments or questions, anyone at the table here? Okay. Then what is the will of the committee on HB 24, which is titled Procurement Preference for Veterans?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 24 from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Thank you. Do I hear any objections?
It's not in the form of an objection, but is that the backslash S, as in Sam version? You know, there was that's one that has the $5,000 on line 13, page 1.
If that's correct.
Yes. Yes.
Would you restate that, please, Senator Meyer?
Yes. Thank you, Senator Pascavan. Madam Chair, let me just restart the motion.
Okay.
If I may retract that. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 24 backslash S from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Thank you. Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move HB 24 backslash S from committee and on to, let's see, do I have any objections? Seeing none, then we will move that out of committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign. State Affairs back to order. We have House Bill 251, Vehicle, Liens, Towing, Storage, Transport. So I see we have the bill sponsor here. If you could come forward, please, Representative Jay Ramos. How wonderful to have you here at the table. Could you state your name for the record and your affiliation?
Madam Chair, Representative Jay Ramos, District 10, privileged to be before your committee. And very nice. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Madam Chair, members, this bill was brought to us by tow truck company people. And we have really shaped a very effective piece of legislation that is helpful both to the tow truck operators and to those consumers. Bless you. And to those consumers who have had their vehicles impounded. This bill, as a consequence, does two things. One is oftentimes, whether it's a DUI or whether it's another reason for an impound, a vehicle is impounded, and the tow truck company, the tow truck operator, will incur you know, their fee structure and storage, and then the bank will have the vehicle taken out, and there's no way for the tow truck company to recover their costs because they find themselves standing behind the lien holder, which is generally a lender. Secondly, there is now a provision that a tow truck company must notify consumers that their vehicles have been impounded within 5 days, whereas previously up to 60 days was elapsing, and the aggregation of those fees was also elapsing, and so sometimes folks that had their vehicles impounded were stunned by the dollar volume that they owed to the impound yard without any notification. And so this bill is, in fact, good for the tow truck operators and good for those consumers who have their vehicles impounded. Section 1 is helpful to the tow truck operators, and Section 2 requires the tow truck company to notify the owner and a lien holder of record of towing, transporting, and storage of a vehicle by certified letter. This is consumer protection and ensures timely warning of an impound situation. Questions, Madam Chair?
Do other states have similar, do they approach this concern the way we're presenting it today for the correction?
Madam Chair, I'm not aware of the provisions for other states, and I don't know that we will have testimony that is indicative of that. We have discussed how when DUIs take place that often the state troopers or local municipalities will keep different tow truck companies on a rotation index, so on Rolodex, so that they may work with half a dozen different tow truck firms, and so when they're called to a site for an accident or for a DUI, the tow truck company is pulled into that transaction rather than, say, a yellow page transaction. But I don't know how it's handled by other states.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from my colleagues?
No.
Senator Kukesh?
Yes, Representative Rams, it looks fairly straightforward and clear to me. Any objections, anybody objecting to this outside of the process, in your process here?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, the only consideration, which didn't happen in a committee hearing, was from Representative Fairclough, who, in her time as the presiding officer of the Anchorage Municipal Assembly, had consumers that complained about about fees that would accrue to your vehicle being in an impound yard. Some people just don't pay attention, or they don't have the money to get a vehicle out of the impound yard. And we told her that we were proactive in improving existing statutes by requiring a certified letter from the tow truck company after the vehicle had been in the impound yard for 5 days to the consumer. And in that regard, we think we're improving existing statute, and Section 1 seems to improve the position of the Section 1 seems to improve the position of the tow truck company to protect their interest. Don Heberger is here. He can offer something. I don't want to get whispers from. I don't want to do that. If you just come on up here, you're welcome to offer something.
State your name, please, for the record and your affiliation.
Yes, my name is Don Heberger, and I work for Representative Ramos. And I just wanted to make a quick clarification. In a committee on the House, we made it 7 days, and it's not 5 days. And we did that because there were some discussion about tow truck companies that have to go out of state to their local DMV, and they thought 5 days was a bit constrained, and so the committee changed it to 7 days, and that's where we're at today.
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Pasvan.
Yeah, that was, if you could please stay there. In other words, that was going to be my question regarding, you know, I'm reading seven, but it's not 7 days, it's seven working days. And so is that then 10 days or 9 days, you know, and what is the policy choice on seven working days as compared to 7 days and seven working days as compared to 5 days? You know, that's what I'm trying to appreciate.
Through the chair, Senator Pasvan, we had the pleasure of hosting one of your colleagues in your private sector capacity. Bill Satterberg was in the room. And although he was there for another bill, he decided to offer testimony on the tow truck bill. Our legal community is not without an abundance of opinions on an abundance of subjects. Bill Satterberg suggested that 7 days, not including weekends, got to about a 10-day period in order to enjoy the certified letter arriving into. So it was an accommodation for the committee is how we arrived at that length of notice.
Okay, we appreciate that. Okay. Follow up, or? Senator French.
Madam Chair, thank you, and Representative Ramirez, another good piece of legislation. I guess I am perhaps aligned with Ms. Fairclough, or Representative Fairclough, and although your bill doesn't address this, I guess I just have to opine that, particularly with respect to the municipality of Anchorage, I don't know what happens in Fairbanks, but some of the towing charges there are outrageous. And while I feel that people who work and perform the work at the behest of the municipality should get paid, there may be some time in the future or opportunity for us in the future to address what I think are almost predatory practices when it comes to very short distance tows for very small amounts of effort and expenses. I do respect the need for a tow truck driver to get paid, but some of those charges are through the roof.
Astronomical.
Thank you.
Through the chair, Senator French, I agree with you. I've had vehicles towed, and it's eye-popping. In this particular case, rather than to get involved in fee structures, what we focused on was a notification for consumers, so that those consumers that did want their vehicles out of the impound lot would know where they are, how long have they been there, and we're taking the existing statute and trying to improve it. And at the same time, I think you'll hear from some tow truck companies, because we have a tow truck association across the state, actually.
I think they're signed up here.
Yes, ma'am. And they will tell you that they're struggling as a small businesses also to make ends meet. And it's they have their side of the story. And most of us, I think that the broader community shares Senator French's point of view. But there's a place for everyone.
Okay, thank you, Senator Pass. Do you have a follow-up, Senator French? Senator Passfan.
And more broad question, and I don't know whether you or the witnesses that are signed up could testify to that, is there a number, for example, somebody's vehicle is towed and because it was illegally parked or whatever, and the owner is trying to look for it the next day, is there a number that they can call to find out? In other words, if the troopers or the police had it impounded, do the police, if you call them up, have someone they can refer you to say, yeah, your car is at, XYZ storage? This addresses the issue that once it's been towed, a letter has to go out. But if the owner is being proactive and they want to find out, how do they do that? Now, it's just my lack of knowledge on that.
Are you offering an amendment?
No, I'm just go ahead. I'm not offering an amendment. I'm just trying to find out how it works if somebody was proactive and wanted to get their car as quickly as possible, meaning the next day.
Through the chair, Senator Pascan, perhaps after you take public testimony, you can we would gladly welcome an amendment that would continue to make this bill more consumer friendly. But I don't know how to get my car back if it gets towed. And after we're off the record, I'd be happy to tell you a story that happened to me that was similar some years ago. I would welcome a conceptual amendment that would help consumers in that regard. Anything that we can do to improve things for consumers, I'm in favor of.
Okay. Thank you very much. Senator Meyer.
Just a quick question. Do you have a name for this bill? I think the last bill you had was named after Rocky or one of your constituents that brought it to your attention.
Madam Chair, the name of this bill...
It's only because we enjoy you.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a suggestion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to defer to Senator French. I'd like to phone a friend.
I tow, you owe.
Have to have fun in life. Thank you. Are there any further questions? Okay, I'm going to go to public testimony now off net. We have five people that have signed up, and we do have to get to the floor for sessions, so I want to keep this to a two-minute testimony, please. Sean Hess from Fairbanks.
Yes, ma'am.
You're with S&S Towing. Would you state your name, please, and give your testimony?
Sean Hess, owner of S&S Towing and Recovery. I'm in favor of House Bill 251. And in regards to the question he asked about how does somebody locate their vehicle, when it's a common practice for us when we impound a vehicle, if it is not requested by law enforcement, say it's parked in somebody else's parking spot, before loading the vehicle, my company calls the plate number into the either Alaska State Troopers or the City Police or North Pole PD, wherever district the car is in, so that as when the owner comes out and finds their vehicle is not there, they can call the local police department of that district, and that district will tell them which towing company has their vehicle.
Okay, thank you very much. Does that conclude your testimony, Sean?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you for testifying today. Next, we'll move to Mark Davis from Fairbanks Interior Towing. Could you state your name, please, for the record?
Yes, my name is Mark Davis. I'm the owner of Interior Towing and Salvage Incorporated. And I'd like to just go on record to say that we do have quite a lot of things that we do have to go in regards to doing any private impound that's not at the direction of a police officer. And that this bill is simply just to correct a small problem so that we can at least get paid for those ones, and that the lending institutions cannot just walk in and take the cars without paying any kind of a bill. And I'm in full support of this bill, and I appreciate your time for considering this.
We appreciate your knowledgeable testimony, Mark. Thank you. Next, we'll move to Margaret Rabbi from Alaska Towing Association. Margaret?
Yes, my name is Margaret Raby from the Alaska Towing Association. We represent members from across the state. And most members of the Towing Association are in full support of this bill. As Mr. Davis stated, it fixes a problem whereby towers may have to perform their services and then not get paid. And most members are also fully in support of the section about notification, simply because that does alleviate some problems that were mentioned there that might be considered predatory towing, such as not notifying owners of a vehicle. And, you know, legitimate towers want to make sure that owners get their vehicles back. So, in short, most of the association members do support the bill, and we appreciate it being considered. Thank you.
And we appreciate you taking time out to be online. I guess Senator Pascvan would like to ask something. Please, Margaret, stand.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. And what I'm interested in, we've heard from individual tow companies that they might call the plate number into law enforcement. Is there a policy in the Alaska Towing Association that be done? In other words,
That's a good question, sir. The Alaska Towing Association doesn't set policy, but what you're referring to is generally regulated by municipalities. Both Anchorage and Fairbanks Municipal Code require anything within city limits to be called in. There's a different time frame assigned in each municipality, as far as I know. And most towers consider it standard operating procedure. Whether or not all municipalities have this ruling, I couldn't tell you. The Alaska State Troopers also require a standard operating procedure, although it's not technically, you know, a law as far as anybody knows. It's what the towing companies are expected to do. And when we don't, when any tower fails to do that, generally law enforcement gets involved and suggests that the tow was illegal. So it's something that's normally followed to the letter.
Just as a follow-up, I think that it would be important if an industry wants to keep government off its back that it adopt a policy that's as consumer-friendly as possible. And so if you had a standard without government mandate that you provide notice promptly, I think that would go a long ways to being a better industry.
I would like to respond to that with the fact that our towing association is pretty much a fledgling organization at this point. Alaska's gone many years without a tow truck association of any kind. And we are growing to that point, and just not there yet, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. And we are so blessed to have three attorneys at this part of this committee here. So thank you for, again, being online today. Next, we'll go to Elizabeth Griswold from Fairbanks, Gabe's Towing. Elizabeth?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for hearing us on House Bill 251. I am from Gabe's Towing. I'm one of the owners.
Would you state your name, please, for the record in your own voice? Thank you.
My name is Elizabeth Griswold. I am with Gabe's Towing. It was myself and Mark Davis that did bring this to the attention of Mr. Ramirez to get the loophole in the statute fixed. And what had initially happened was the credit union found a loophole that had caused it to where if their vehicle was impounded, once they received the notification of it, with them having the perfected lien over the possessory lien, they were able to walk into our companies and take possession of their vehicle without paying for a tow bill. Unfortunately, my company had its own experience with this. We did respond to a DUI call from the Alaska State Troopers. When we notified them within 14 days of the vehicle being there, they walked in and tried to take possession of their collateral. And it did actually have to go into litigation with our attorney, Bill Satterberg. And the only reason we waited the 14 days to notify the lien holder of it was the registered owner knew where the vehicle was. He told us that he would come pick up the vehicle, but unfortunately his wife had been severely injured in the accident and had been flown from Fairbanks to Anchorage, so we were trying to be lenient with the registered owner. And this is how, you know, when they came in and tried to take their collateral without any payment, is how we just discovered the loopholes in the statutes and brought it forth to see if we could get this situation rectified. Several members around this table here that are testifying today are on the towing ordinance committee for the city of Fairbanks. I know that Anchorage has similar ordinances that we have to follow in order to A, stay in business here, to keep the municipalities off of our backs. They are able to come in and audit us at any time, and unfortunately, Alaska statutes do not have some of the same coverages that maybe Washington State has, where if you don't pay a tow bill in Washington, it goes against your driver's license. Here, if you don't pay a tow bill, we have to try to recoup the coverages, but we're not guaranteed that we're going to recoup our costs.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth, for your helpful testimony and that kind of answered on how a different state handles it, and we appreciate that. Next, I'll move to Jeff Van Esch, from Fairbanks, Dirty Deeds Auto.
Yes, ma'am. This is Jeff Van Eyck. I own Dirty Deeds Towing and Recovery.
Are you part or a owner?
State your name, please, for the record.
Jeff Van Eyck. I just wanted to say that I am for House Bill 251, just so I'm just a small tow company, and I just want to make sure that I get paid for the services that I do. I don't want the banks coming and just take our vehicles, because our lien is a possessory lien. Once they come in and take the vehicle, we no longer have any right to get our money back at all. We have no way to recoup our costs. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
And thank you for your testimony. That closes. If I see no one else wanting to testify, we'll check with Luke. Are we good over there? Okay. Molly, welcome. Sorry, I didn't recognize you in the beginning. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and close testimony. Do you have any comments of my committee members here, questions?
Madam Chair, I think we found the name for his bill.
We did.
Dirty Deeds.
Moving right along, what is the will of my committee on this bill? Do I hear a motion to move HB 251 from committee with individual recommendations?
Madam Chair, with pleasure, I move House Bill 251 from committee with the individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note. And
thank you.
I don't know if you need, no, we don't need to give you the version because there's only one.
No. Okay. Thank you. Do I hear any objection? Hearing none, HB 251 moves out of state affairs to state judiciary, and we are adjourned.
No, don't adjourn.
Oh. No, with.
I want to go back to 225 just for a second because I don't remember hearing you say for the record what we were going to do with 225.
move out.
Just for the record, I want you to be able to say,
the record,
are you holding it? Are you
going to
move? Are you? What's the record?
We're going to move it out. But go ahead, and we'll start.
225.
Yeah, I just want to know what. Well, you didn't say that officially for the record. I want you to say that for the record.
Okay. So House Bill 225, before we close committee today, is going to be held.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any objections?
I don't, but on the record, if on a different subject, may I? We're done with with Senate Bill 225. On the record, I want to recognize Representative Ramirez. You know, this may be as a presenter, as a bill sponsor carrying a bill. We are within a last week or so of the end of the good senator's representation on behalf of. A part of my Senate district, and I just want to commend him for his service to Alaska and to the city of Fairbanks, and I think it's very appropriate that it be on the record. I don't know whether I'll have another opportunity to do so, and or whether there will be another presentation by you as a bill sponsor before any committee, but I just want to recognize Representative Ramirez's service.
And I also would echo that. He's a wonderful, not only legislator, but a wonderful businessman, and it should not go unnoticed that I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And with that, is anyone else wanting to give some accolades here?
Madam Chair, we're probably premature. He probably has another 7 or 8 bills to come before us in this last week. But if not, if this is the last time we'll see his friendly, happy, shiny face before us. I do appreciate all the bills you brought before to us. They've all been good bills, and you've done a good job of meeting with us sometimes in advance and kind of giving us a heads up of what the bill does, and then certainly testifying on your own bills, which is always nice. I mean, obviously, we can't be everywhere. Sometimes we have to rely on our staff, but I know you make an effort to present the bills yourself, and I truly do appreciate that. So thank you.
Speaking for Senator French and myself, we don't want our silence to say anything other than that we agree with the speakers.
Thank you. Did you get all that, Molly and Luke? Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you very much for being here. Okay, thank you, and congratulations on moving your bill out.
Now we can adjourn, yeah.
Now you can adjourn.
Now I can adjourn.